Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on, geez, almost the end of the month.
Yeah, it's next Tuesday.
And
we waited so long. It's Thursday.
April 28th. And we have, we were off a couple of days for various reasons. And but luckily, there's a bunch of stuff that happened today.
Oh, lots. Yeah, lots of stuff happened.
And that gives us something to talk about.
And if nothing else, we could always just talk about the excitement that's going to be happening in Europe tomorrow, in England in particular, with the royal fiasco wedding.
Who cares? You know, all the people that are getting – it's like the news organizations have all decided that this is – here's what the deal is. There is – they can't afford to go to London unless it's on an expense account. Because the pound is just – you get killed over there. But if you're on an expense account, you can go have some fun. Finally get to go see some plays. You get to hang out in London. You get to have some food. And this is the opportunity. So all the news organizations, all of them, have played this up big time so they could send people.
Right. You know how true this is, because just today I had somebody from an unnamed organization that I use their data services and a few other things. And he was talking to me about how to utilize this new functionality and all this. And I said, how do we do this? Oh, you can walk me through it and all that. And no, this is not a GoToMeeting commercial, by the way. And I said, you know what? I'm in Florida. You're in New York. Why don't you come down? He goes, oh, where in Florida? I tell him, and he says, all right, I'll be down next week. I mean, so the use of expense accounts is, you know, very standard, I guess. And if you at least say it's for a good reason.
Yeah, you need an excuse. So they've played up this thing that Americans shouldn't even be remotely interested in. The monarchy of England? Who cares?
Right, exactly. All right, so lots of stuff going on, man. We had Bernanke speak this week. We got earnings coming out fast and furious. A Packet. You see my little note on A Packet?
Yeah.
I call it Acme Packet. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Great earnings. I was on the conference call listening in to all that. I don't know. Did I send you all my conference call notes? I don't think I did.
Not on that one.
It was very interesting. The management was ridiculously upbeat, first of all. Now, Acme Packet makes the session board controllers, and they make a variety of different we'll call them hardware and programming logic boards, so that you can have voice over IP video and make the whole process of transitioning from the old telephone data lines, if you will, to voice over IP and net, the thing they have. They make all that, and they don't have much competition.
No, they have no competition. I actually sat down with the CEO, I don't know, about 4 months ago, and I was grilling him about this stuff, and I kept saying, who's the competition? And he says, you know, that's the great thing about it. There's nobody doing what we do.
Right. Well, it's good and bad, because, I mean, somebody will walk into that door eventually.
Yeah, but, you know, this is typical of these high-tech guys. They always say, yeah, that can happen, but we're so far ahead. We're running, you know.
Right.
We're not, like, sitting on our laurels, and so that's...
All another company has to do is get their hands on their product and talk to some of the customers and see how the thing is working, and they'll figure it out. They'll do a reverse engineering on it.
Yeah, I know. You can do that.
You know, so now they were very upbeat. They had a decent quarter. They don't make a lot of money. They made $75 million in the quarter of revenue, and good earnings. But the margins were great. They had great outlook. Everything was great. Now, at first, the shares dropped about 9% because everybody's expecting the Acme Packet's going to blow it out. It drops about 9% down to about 70. We picked it up actually after. Hours, we owned a position of it. We picked up after hours about 70, and it's 73. The next day, it kind of was just floundering around till somebody said, oh, that was really good earnings. And they started buying, and I think it went up to about 82, 83, something like that.
Let's see what it looks
and,
like.
And it backed off today, though, the usual way things go. Big volume, everything's great, and the next day, everybody takes profits.
And it's at 82 at the moment.
Yeah, so it was maybe 83-ish, 84 maybe. So we actually closed our position today, and we'll reopen it because with the way that the markets have been lately, you know, you can have one big day of a short cover, and the next day it just falls on its face. So if it comes down a little bit, we'll maybe re-enter. But I will say this. This is kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth, that you know, while we did close the position right now because it started backing off very substantially, this company looks really marvelous, really set up well.
Yeah, I get that sense too.
So that was a big winner. We had a lot of news that was out that was very, I don't know, you know, like Amazon comes out with earnings. They have a blockbuster for revenue, but they just looked awful. I mean, absolutely awful on the earnings per share. Awful. It was like this gigantic miss. Did you see this?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
And shares drop, and then everybody's like, this happened last quarter too. Everybody said, well, what's going on? Amazon says, well, we're spending lots of money to establish further distribution plants and places around the world. And I guess somewhere investors realize that, well, wait. You're spending money so that you can actually make more money.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, exactly. So when the day comes that you're not going to be spending as much because you have all your facilities set up, man, think about what the profit could be. So the stock made a U-turn. It was up like 6.5% that day from being down like 4%.
Yeah, well, I like Amazon a lot. I mean, I don't look at the stock that much, but as a company, I think they really. I mean, I buy stuff from them all the time. I'll look for some product because I got into that special deal where you get free second day shipping.
Oh yeah, Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah, and so you get on the thing, and so you go, you look for a product that because I just need to buy a couple different things, like computer parts and things like that, and you find it, and you say, well, Amazon's got it. Amazon has it, same low price.
Right.
But free shipping.
Right.
So it's like, wow, okay. And then you click on it, and 2 days later, there it is, and right there on the doorstep.
It's like, I bought all my headphones from Amazon, these new headphones. And when you look
I got mine from Amazon, too, V-Motas.
Yeah, these V-Motas. And then I just got a battery backup, but the battery for the battery backup we had to get, it was like $40, but it was the same price as the APC. And there was no shipping charge.
Right.
Oh, that's great. Great. Anyway, so Amazon hit an all-time high the other yesterday. I remember so clearly the writings in 2000, 1999, 2000 about the death of Amazon. You remember those?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, it's so clear.
I don't think I wrote one of them.
No, who the hell is going to buy books online?
Yeah.
You know, talk about a non-visionaries writing this, right? I'm not saying that anybody really could see the potential of what it became and who knows what it's going to become, you know, besides the Kindle and ebooks and all that. But I mean, just an amazing story how the death of Amazon was called 1,000 times over and they've become just an incredible retailing powerhouse.
Yeah, it turns out that Jeff Bezos is I guess something of a genius insofar as the retail world is concerned.
Yep, he is.
I mean,
he
what does it take to copy the model? I don't see why it's so hard, but apparently there's, you know, they got, I don't know. I have no idea.
Here's the problem. You have a viral model, right? Aside from the fact that you have good shipping and you have good prices and all that, okay, great. But you also have a viral model. You have all of these individuals out there that are doing their associates deal where they're
– Yeah, but I've done that associates deal. It's a loser.
I know people that make good money from it.
Oh, I'd like to see – everybody always talks a big game about how much money they make with some of these online schemes. I'd like to see. I don't believe it. Let's put it that way.
You're a doubter. All right. Well, I mean, the bottom line is everybody knows the name, but yeah, why can't you just go to BestBuy.com and buy the same thing, right? Well, why? What's the point? But they consolidated it. It's so much easier.
Yeah, and the free shipping is not non-trivial.
Right.
You go buy something for, you know, like these headphones we're talking about, $12, and you know they're $12 on Amazon. Because you get them at $12. Every place else, they're $12 plus $4.95 shipping.
Right.
You know, everyone's gouging on the shipping.
When's the last time you bought a book from Amazon?
I buy books from Amazon quite a bit. I bought one probably less than a month ago. I find the easiest way to buy a book is just to look it up on Amazon. You get to see the associated books, you know, other books that are like it, and then hit the button, boom, the book's there in 2 days.
Actually, now that you mention it, I have bought 2 books recently, but they weren't books. They were e-books.
Oh, yeah.
A lot easier to deal with. Well, you have the iPad, the iPhone, all that. So anyway, gold's at an all-time high. Woohoo! Silver did a major topping blow off this week. Did you see what's going on with silver? There's a lot of – first of all
– Well, since I completely missed the whole silver boat, I haven't really been following it.
Oh, here's the deal on silver. First of all, I always find it very interesting when you write an article on a blog something – or I print a report on my website about anything, whatever it may be, and you're either, you know, when you're negative on it, you know, usually when you're positive, you don't get anybody that comes out of the woodworks, but you're negative on one of those cult style deals, like you say something bad about Green Mountain Coffee, oh, God forbid, or you say something about silver, well, man, the comments come out of the woodworks with people just trashing you, right? From left field, you're an idiot. Look, it went up 3% today. How could you talk about shorting? Blah, 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 this whole thing, right? So Monday comes around, and the commodities, I think it was the CME, they put a higher margin requirement on silver. So first of all, commodities you can buy with very little money down, and you can leverage it up. And so if you think about this, if silver goes from $20 to $40, and you originally leveraged it up all the way with when it was at $20, well, you're double leveraged now, right? You have a lot more leverage outstanding.
Yeah.
When it moves up. So you have to naturally move the leverage up. But at the same time, you know, you could be squeezing people. You may have some people that are required for whatever reason that when the price comes down, all of a sudden they're getting margin calls if they're super leveraged, even if they did it especially if they just did it recently. So what happens is you get this kind of blow off where people are buying it. And then they increased the leverage. They did it twice this week. One, I think, 9%, and just tonight at 10%. When they did it at 9%, the next day, silver fell 4%. Mm. Of course, I think the following day it was up 6%, or maybe the day later, 2 days later. Today, silver was up 2.5% in the afternoon, and all of a sudden, it went from up 2.5% to down 1%, or maybe down 2% it was a matter of an hour. That's a big move. 4% move in silver?
Yep.
And then we find out later tonight that after the close tonight into tomorrow, they're increasing the margin limits or the requirements again to on silver. So, you know, we'll see what happens in the next couple of days here. But there is some big short interest that has been growing in the whole silver situation. And if the dollar does come up at all, if ever it does again, silver could be
Bernanke did come out and say that, you know, that apparently our policy is for a stronger dollar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wrote a piece on that. He's the Pinocchio of our modern era. Actually, I said that of Geithner, actually. Of Geithner, because he said it the day before. He said, oh, of course
we
wouldn't.
This guy sounds like Leave It to Beaver guy. You know, you ever listen to him talk? Yeah, well, yeah. You know. Well, Mom, I don't know if I can go out today.
Yeah, he
Wally's coming over.
He does kind of talk into himself a bit, right? He said that we have a strong dollar policy, too. Do you believe him?
Well, they say they have. Why would they lie?
Well, I don't know. Is it the talk or is it the action?
Well, the action sucks. I mean, it's not doing anything, but the dollar's not strong. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
so if they have a strong dollar policy, it's been failing. They're doing something wrong.
Right. Exactly. I mean, we hit first of all, the Chinese yuan, I think, cracked its high point and moved higher tonight past the 1993 level. And the yen is starting to come stronger again, and the euro hit 148 and changed it yesterday.
Well, yesterday, I'm looking at it now, it's 148.32 as we speak.
Yeah, it was like 148. Yeah, it was like 148.60 or something like that. 148.70, which is right on, without getting too technical, it's right on its 200% Fibonacci if you draw from the high to the low and you do all this kind of number crunching. 148, I think 148.70 or so. 149, we'll call it. Let's call it 149. 149 is like peak out. After that, I don't know what. You know, after that, the tops get just totally blown off, I guess.
I can't believe for a minute that this thing could go any higher.
Well, is it going higher?
It's got to be killing their economy. I mean, they can't. It's out of, well, in fact, it makes it even worse for them because if the even though the yuan you know is getting a little looser, it's still more or less pegged to the dollar. So as the dollar becomes weaker, so does the Chinese yuan, essentially, in terms of buying
power. No, it's not pegged. It's not pegged anymore.
Yeah, but it's still kind of tracking.
Well, it's managed.
It's managed down to make the Chinese exports more compelling. The Europeans can't afford to have a bunch of Chinese exports so compelling that, you know, they're just going to put everybody in Europe completely out of business.
Well, most of Europe is out of business except for Germany. Germany still has amazing production numbers, although they dropped a little bit. Today's numbers were starting to roll over a little bit here.
Well, they protected their manufacturing base better than these other countries, including us. We didn't even try.
Yep. No, it's a whole different animal. It's a whole different world. It's – you know, the whole game with what Germany's doing, they basically have the heart and the pump for the whole Europe. You know, they're holding that whole thing together.
Yeah.
The EU. So, but anyway, so gold is hitting all time high. People are freaking out about inflation, and then on the other side, Bernanke says in his first ever televised speech after the release of the minutes and of the statement, I should say, that inflation is transitory. The commodity prices and what we're seeing right now is transitory. And I was wondering why. How does he know that, and why is that, and is it true?
Well, I mean, we're seeing a lot of questions. Prices.
Well, I mean, oil hit a 23-month or 31-month, 3-year high or something like that today.
Yeah.
And all these other commodities are moving higher, generally speaking, although a lot of the food commodities came down today in the last few days. But you look at the market and the input costs and what's going on around the world, everybody but us is trying to protect from an outbreak of rampant inflation. It seems like we're the only ones. They keep on saying there's no inflation here.
Well, they keep saying it, but I suppose that it's on some, you know, if you fudge the numbers enough, there isn't. And if you start and you factor certain things in, like, you know, certain things are cheaper, and even though commodities are higher. It's not like inflation like it was in the 70s.
Right. It's a different animal, I agree. But here's the thing. You know, people wonder, why is Japan had this deflationary. For the last 20 years, they've been in a deflationary mode. It's because if you look at the yen, you know what today the yen is, let's call it 82, okay? Do you know what it was 20 years ago? 82 to the dollar. You know what it was 20 years ago?
What?
300.
Oh, it was 300?
300.
Huh. I didn't know it was that high. I always thought it floated around 100.
Over 300, actually. Now, think about that for a second. 20 years ago, it was so much weaker by a factor of 3.5. So now, all of a sudden, the prices of their products have risen that much more, and they have to decrease the price in order to sell it at the same price.
Right.
Therefore, that's why you're seeing all these deflation, or you're seeing this deflation in you know, in Japan, and it's, you know, it's nonstop. It's not going to end. Their products have to be a lot cheaper, and just to keep pace with it. So, what Bernanke's doing is trying to stop that situation and create inflation, or at least not continue the deflationary process by banging down the dollar. I don't think it will last forever. I think the dollar is going to make a little bit of a kickback here. We're seeing some basing going on already. So it looks like this is the kind of the point. So we'll see. I mean, it's a pretty sad situation, though. Anyway. Small caps closed at an all-time high. I don't mean like I'm not saying like an all-time high for the last year. I'm not saying like an all-time high for last, you know, since this date or that date. I'm talking about an all-time high.
For all time.
The Russell 2000 Small Cap Index. That's pretty fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah. What do you think it means?
Nothing. It means that small caps. I read a great piece last night from J.P. Morgan. One of the things, you know, is that small caps have had a much better opportunity. They got killed, by the way, a couple of years ago. But they have much greater opportunity to expand their margins, be a lot more flexible, nimble, utilize the low interest rates to their benefit. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Well, somebody's got to take advantage of the low interest rates. I'm glad somebody's doing it.
Yeah, aside from the banks. Yeah, so they've done well with that. So that's a good thing. So it's pretty neat that, you know, it is hitting a level. We're looking at kind of thinking about shorting at this point because it's getting a little spicy.
Yeah,
getting a little bit carried away.
I think it'll be noticeable when it starts to tumble.
Yeah, because now everybody's kind of like just all bully. You know, let's get in there and there's no risk because Bernanke's got our back. But Bernanke said that you know, we're going to discontinue the QE purchases in June as scheduled. And we're going to possibly reapply some of the interest rates. But, you know, what after that? Do you think that there's anything that's going to happen? Do you think it's possible they're going to do more?
Oh, absolutely.
They can't help themselves.
No, I don't think there's any question they're going to do more. They have to. They showed it didn't do any. It didn't give us an inflationary craziness. It didn't cause hyperinflation or ruin everything. So obviously the system is... is kind of geared up to suck up more of this easing, and I think they'll just keep doing it until it has an effect. Right now, it just looks like it's just like a sponge; it just keeps, you know, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but the rest of the world is complaining. I mean,
Too bad.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think it partly, you know, we're always out to screw the rest of the world. So that if this is what we're doing, just however we do it, I don't. It doesn't bother me.
All right, screw the rest of the world. I'm with you. So nobody matters but us anyway. In the end, you know,
that's the way we operate. And yeah. I think it's true.
And here's the great thing: there was a new census out and some study from China. Do you know between China and India, those two countries make up 25% of the entire world's population, and we make up like a scant, I think, 8%.
Yeah.
But everybody looks to us for everything.
It's like you know, it's because we seem to be we seem to be
we know what we're doing.
We know what we're doing. We have the magic touch.
Right. It's like, you know, the guy, he goes gambling in the casino and he says to his wife, you know, you go there, I'll go here. Here's $100. They go gambling. They get back into the elevator. The husband says to the wife, how'd you do? And she says, well, I lost all the money. He starts screaming at her, ranting and raving. What the hell is wrong with you? He says, gambling. Oh, my God. She looks at him and says, well, how'd you do? He says, I lost all my money. She says, what do you mean? He says, yeah, but I know how to gamble. You know? So it's the same kind of thing. You know, hey, we know how to do what we're doing. Don't worry about it. We could tell you how to do it because we got this under control. All under control.
So Microsoft came out. Stock went up a little bit.
Went up? No, I don't think so.
Well, did on the chart I'm looking at.
Yeah, but you didn't look at the after hours, I assume.
Oh, no, I'm not looking at after hours. It went back down?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it right now, and it's up 0.330. Was this after hours or not?
It should be – well, yeah, no. If it says it's up 0.33, that means it fell about 1.2% after hours. It was up pre-market. I mean, it was up during the market.
Okay.
So if the net is 0.3, it was down over a percent. The numbers that came out of Microsoft were not compelling. Let's just say that. They were light on their – or they were lower orders for Windows 7. It's confirmed that the tablets are eating into their profits. Their margins were a mess, in my opinion. Their margins were terrible.
Why?
They were just low.
Okay.
Compared to where they should have been. And they hit on the revenue. They hit on the EPS. But overall, the earnings were fine. But the stock has run up over the last 3 or 4 days. And now you look at it saying, okay, well, why did it run up? And there's like no reason. You can't really put your finger on why it ran up now.
Well, probably in anticipation of better reporting. No.
I don't think it was better. Nope. And did you see the Research of Motion numbers?
No, I didn't.
I think the word that would sum them up is horrifying. First of all, everybody wants to be in Research of Motion. Every time they come out with a number over the last, I don't know, 3 quarters or so, the hope of the playbook, the hope of the new thing, the new torch, the blah, 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 the stock runs up ever so gently into the earnings. And then they lay a giant goose egg. They missed by a country yard. I think it closed down – I think it was down 10% after hours. Maybe it was a country mile. The earnings missed, and outlook was kind of pathetic. Although management was talking about how they would meet annual numbers on – but everybody's like, well, how are you going to meet annual numbers? You haven't met any of your numbers to begin with. So we're not sure what they're talking about.
Hmm.
Kind of a silly numbers. But I guess there is some finally, there is some agreement that Research of Motion is having their lunch eaten by the Apples and whoever else is out there. You know, my wife got a torch this week. What a pain in the neck to get that thing going.
Didn't we have a rim shorted on our fake portfolio at some point?
Probably.
Or I think I tried it.
Did you short or did you went long? Let me think about that. I think you went short. You were probably right, but after the earnings, you know, everybody gets all excited. They get all lathered up about the earnings, and then it, you know, moves up, and then it just kind of just
falls.
It's been
a nice short at 70, it looks like. Yep. Anyway, go on with your wife.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks. Bye. Oh. You know, she got a new BlackBerry, Torch. I mean, it was. I think it stands for torture, not torch. It's torture to put this thing. You know, the problem is, first of all, the letters are really – the keyboard's very small. The second problem you have is that If it's not set up just right, trying to get into the BlackBerry server, it's just not as smooth and elegant and easy, or let's say like Phone for Dummies that the iPhone is. You click buttons on the iPhone, boom, 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 boom. You got your email going. You know, you're setting it up. You want to do something else. You want to go to the store. Boom, boom, boom. Everything's big. I mean, this whole thing is you got to – I don't know what you click. And I find it very difficult. Hmm. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that really enjoy their BlackBerry. But I don't know. Not me. I find it very difficult. Anyway, Deckers also laid a big goose egg. They make the UGG boots. They come out with earnings.
Oh, I thought one of your shoe companies. This should be interesting.
Yep. I thought when I was reading the number that came out, I thought there was a mistake. Because I really did. I thought there was a mistake. I said, that can't be right. They must have put parentheses around the number where they meant to make it a positive, because that just doesn't seem right. And I think they were expected to lose, I think it was a 5 cents, and now they're projecting to lose 25 cents in the next quarter. So needless to say, that's the
UGG.
Yeah, UGG, no kidding. So the stock got hit for another 10%. And then there was some great stuff. There was Skyworks Solutions was up like 15%. A solar company's being bought. Sun Power's being bought. All the solar's just, sorry about this, lit up after hours. Yeah, sorry. Really sparked up a big storm in the solar's after hours. And so there was a very mixed bag after hours. You had a few things just getting killed and a few things doing really well. There was nothing like right in the middle.
Hmm.
All right, what else we got? What about the guns in Walmart? What do you think?
What about them?
I don't know. The Walmart is starting to, I guess, selling all, you know, they had guns in there for a while and they were selling them. I guess they're selling rifles and shotguns and ammunition.
Yeah.
They're trying to reinvigorate this one-stop shopping and more male customers. And they're really trying to put a lot more into the whole, gun area. That's interesting.
Well, I mean, I think Target's been, or not Target, but Kmart was, I think they made most of their money from ammo or something like that.
Really?
Oh.
That's kind of funny. No, but there's a lot of talk of, you know, people are buying guns because they're worried again, all this crap, you know, but I don't know who's worried. It seems like the world is, except for the fact that, you know, our GDP came in at 1.8%, which was like, really? And we're growing? Isn't that going backwards? It seems to be going backwards. I thought we were going to be at 3%, and Japan wasn't going to bother us. The oil situation wasn't going to bother us, and Europe wasn't going to bother us. But somehow we went from expectation of a 3 to a 1.8.
Really?
Actually went from
I was never expecting a 3. It just never made any sense to me. I was like the 1.8, I think. I was thinking a 1.5 would be, you know, more like it.
That's a very big step backwards.
Yeah, well, we're in the middle of a depression.
It seems like everything's rosy. I don't know. Everything's getting better, everybody keeps saying.
Well, stocks are rosy. The market looks pretty nice, but I don't see any real activity in terms of, you know, people, you know, hiring or...
As a matter of fact, they're firing again.
Getting raises or anything like that.
Well, Microsoft has instituted a whole raise policy, a new raise policy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Big layoffs, I guess?
They can't get anybody.
That's the problem. Microsoft can't. They used to attract some of the best people, but ever since the stock became dead money, because people would work. Microsoft always had a policy. I've written about this. Always had a policy from the beginning because of Bill's bigotry in terms of how he hires people. Bill would never hire you to work for the company unless you took a cut in pay from your old job. Just to prove you really wanted to work for Microsoft.
Right, that was your initiation.
Yeah, and then, of course, you'd make it up on the stocks because you'd get a piece of the action, and the stock was flying for, you know, a decade or more, just every year, every double. And but since that stopped happening, I think they still have their policies in place, but nobody wants to work there because why would I take a cut and pay to work for Microsoft in some dead money stock?
I know two different people that are friends of mine, and... neither of them has Microsoft stock that is above water, in terms of the options and all that.
Yeah.
Pretty sad. But, what we saw today also on top of the really poor GDP number, which is – it's interesting because there's been a very big spread of what's going on in the manufacturing sector. Some manufacturing areas are on fire and we're seeing some good numbers come out. Some have rolled over really hard. We're seeing productivity up. We're seeing wage gains down a little bit. Consumer spending's been kind of, you know, hanging in there pretty well. And at the same time, we see this 1.8 come out, and all of a sudden, we were seeing a sub 400,000 initial claims each and every week. And all of a sudden, they started creeping up and creeping up. And now, we just saw the second week, significantly higher than 400,000. I think it was 430 today.
Hmm.
The high was, I think it was 700 was the high. 700,000.
Yeah.
But that's not doing anything. Now, what will be amazing is you keep on with these 400s and we'll see another better employment number next time it comes around. You know, next week sometime.
Yeah, we'll see.
But you know, just the art of statistics.
Yeah.
That's how
cooking the books, I think, is another way of putting it.
Right. So anyway, President Obama is
He's born in the USA, by the way.
He's born in the USA. He is. I saw his birth certificate, and I couldn't believe that we actually had to get this on the web. We got to see this. Just because Donald Trump trumped up these charges about him having no – how would Donald Trump know that he doesn't – I didn't get the whole thing. Do you understand that at all? I mean, where did that come from? What kind of crap is that? Doesn't that really say that Donald Trump is just a bag of hot air?
And this is news?
Right. I mean, but it's kind of – I don't know. The whole thing is just – I'm not trying to
so
defend
you listen to today's No Agenda show, because Curry digs up the – he looks at the new document and finds two errors on there which don't make any sense. So that the whole thing – we're trying to feed it back in the system that the whole thing is a fake.
Well, when I was looking for it, of course, everybody that's looking at it is saying, okay, is this a forgery, right? Well, why all of a sudden is it coming out?
The two things that he spotted, one was that Kenya wasn't Kenya when it was – in 1961, it was British East Africa, and the guy put Kenya down. And the name of the hospital was not the same as it was. It changed its name in the 70s, and they're using the newer name. It wasn't the same name in 61. I'm just telling you what he came up with. I didn't follow up, but I thought it was quite entertaining.
I mean, if that's true, let's say that's true. Let's just go there for a second, okay? When you order up a birth certificate, you don't usually get your original. You order up another one, you know, from the place.
Yeah, which would have the newer name. But then what are these signatures doing on there? See, that's the thing that's baffling.
That's I agree with you. Well, of course, when I say they order up a new one, they order it from the old microfilm or the scan or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, right? I don't doubt that he was born in the United States, but I think this thing is high comedy at this point.
Yeah. So what do you think about – I hate to kind of go here again, but – is Trump going to have – is he really going to run – is this what is the story here? He's going to announce his presidential run on The Last Apprentice.
That's – you're not the only one that says that.
He said it.
Oh.
He said it. I'm not saying
it. This is just to get people to watch.
Of course.
No, this whole thing – now, I'm not buying it. This is just a publicity stunt. I'm in line with all the people that say that. Other people do think – I mean, a lot of people on Fox they think he's going to run. They think he's serious. Curry thinks he's serious. I do not for a minute think he's going to run. I think the whole thing is a huge publicity stunt for his show. He can't possibly – he doesn't want to reveal his numbers because, everyone knows he's not quite as successful as he claims to be. And it's just not going to happen. Mm. And on the final night, he's going to have some bogus excuse. Well, you know – I was hoping I could do more. Or he's going to have some reason. He wants to spend more time with his family. There's going to be some crummy reason he can't do it, and he won't run. Right. But everybody's going to tune in. It's going to be one of the highest-rated shows, and he's going to brag about that forever. Oh, and I did the highest-rated show in the history of television just to hear what I had to say.
And I could have been president if I wanted to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's going
to – I'd have been a great president.
But he can be more effective – in shaping the future of America by not being involved in the bureaucratic nonsense and doing it from the outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. Anyway, so you see that kind of switching gears here. Ron Paul, or staying in the same gear again, Ron Paul, you know, the guy that wants to challenge the Fed, abolish the Fed, he's looking now to catch the presidential, be a presidential candidate. I don't know.
I like Ron Paul a lot, and I like his ideas. It's never going to happen because they're not going to let it happen. Nobody wants Ron. I mean, none of the powers that be will allow Ron Paul to become president because he would ruin it for them.
Right. Yeah. Nobody wants to. Who wants some party pooper?
He's a party pooper, man. Yeah.
And who wants that? That's a downer. Look at all the fun you get to have.
Yeah. They don't want some.
I mean, who needs to be questioning my my expenses and what why do we need something like that? Right now it's nice and it's closed. It's easy.
Yeah.
No problems. I like that. So anyway, on a couple of other topics, this reverse mergers. You know, we've been talking about this Chinese reverse mergers. Well, not in Chinese, but reverse mergers and a lot of the Chinese companies that did this reverse merger where they came in and did IPOs, or at least they didn't have to go through the whole SEC scrutiny
right.
to do the
you
IPOs.
Come in. Yeah.
Now, so I gave you a chart of one of those. You see that? It's called Rhino, R-I-N-O. See that chart?
No, I'm not seeing it. Is it attached?
It's attached, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Take a look at that chart. Now, that's logarithmic. Look at the right scale for a second. Okay. This is in 2010 through now.
Yeah.
Stock in, I mean, it's been moving around. But
this
in
is
2000,
Rhino International.
Right. This is an interesting company, actually. It did heat exchangers
and
all those other
stuff. $37 at point that, all these zeros.
Yeah,
no, okay,
that's
like,
dollars, yep. Yeah. That was the high was, we'll be kind and say it was 26 and change at one time, okay?
Yeah.
And now it's, what is it? I don't even know where it is.
It's
25 cents, a dollar.
Dollar, yeah. Even though it did have a low spike of 31 cents or less.
And that was a real spike, by the way.
Yeah.
That would have been a nice pickup. But
oh, yeah.
These companies have just been getting hammered. You know, there's several of these that look the same. I should look at like Heat. That's another one that we looked at. They had great numbers. They had great products. Everything was good and then just got obliterated.
So what's going on?
It's just that these companies are being put under this microscope and saying like China Agritech and, you know, saying, hey, you know what? We think this is all BS. One of the things that happened last week was China Agritech came out, or somebody came out about China Agritech and says, you know, we went to China to check out their facilities. There's nothing there.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of Chinese action like that.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, when I say nothing, I'm not talking about like just a little. I mean, nothing. And, you know, that they're making this all up and there's a big scam. And so the stocks just drop off a cliff.
Big scam.
I mean, seriously.
I think a lot of Chinese stocks are a big scam.
Okay, well, it could be, but I guess, you know, they have to send it. Now it puts a cloud over all of them.
Yeah, well, but I would think, because I think the Chinese are, they figure, hey, you know, if we can, let's just set up a Dropbox someplace and call it mm-hmm. macaroni.
Right. I also gave you a chart there of the inflation and the GDP outlook. So unemployment forecast is coming
Fed
in now.
Update?
Yep, Fed update. So the unemployment forecast, according to the Fed, in April of 2011 is going to be about 8.4 to 8.7 versus about 8.8 to 9 that was the February number. Mm-hmm. And they're saying in 2013 they're going to hold to the 6.8 to 7.2. So it's still showing a significantly higher amount of unemployment through even 2013.
Yeah, Bernanke came out and said that nothing's going to happen insofar as unemployment is concerned until 2013.
Yeah, and then magic happens, which is also, by the way, you know, there's a giant carrot that goes on with the Fed, right? The Fed constantly is carrying a carrot in front of us. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. So now you've stretched it out to 2013-14. You got 2 years of crap that can happen in between, and you still got the carrot saying things are going to get better. And even if things get worse, oh, well, yeah, we had to drop our GDP forecast. You know, they were at 3.9, 3.4, 3.9. And they said that it's going to be 3.1 to 3.3 this year. How is that going to happen? We just saw the...
It's not,
you know,
possible.
No. And we're only saying... This is the really... The thing about GDP that's really concerning is this. We went through a nasty year or so of negative GDP, right?
Yeah.
You should see on the back end of that, after that, with all the stimulus, a significant turn to the other side, right? You should see if things pick up, they should pick up in a big way.
Not unless you're in a depression, though, but that's another story.
Right. You should see a 5 or a 6%.
That should pop.
You should see a pop right afterward. Just a statistical anomaly on both sides. You know, because one is off of a high number, one's off a low number. But we're seeing that the long run estimate, long run, the over time, over 5, 6, 7 years, we're only seeing a 2.5 to a 2.8% GDP forecast they're showing us now. That is not impressive.
No.
I mean, it's just not an impressive number. Meanwhile, the markets didn't seem to care about that.
No, the markets are actually completely psychotic.
You know, like, oh, you know, I think the markets would have went down if we saw a 4% print today. But since it's a low print, they realize that the, you know, the Fed is still kind of doing their thing.
It's low. That means the better times are ahead. So let's buy, buy, buy.
Exactly. It's always going to get better. It's, you know, it's not. But meanwhile, when does it turn around? I don't know. Maybe it will get better. But I was surprised to see their forecast really dropping down for everything except for PCE, which is the inflation rates are kind of staying pretty much the same. And their core rates are low as can be as well. I mean, they're saying 1.4 to 2% inflation on the core without the food and energy.
So let's talk about Netflix.
Oh, boy. Yeah, what do you think?
What do I think? Do you think I should short it again?
Let me tell you something. I heard a very wise man recently, just very recently, say, here's what the plan is for Netflix. You don't buy it. You don't sell it. You don't short it. You don't get involved in it. It's the ultimate of craziness. Netflix falls, what did it fall, 10% after its numbers came out?
Yeah.
There are much higher costs of doing business. Now, see, mind you.
Let me look at this thing. What's the P.E.? What is the P.E.? Like, what do you think the P.E. ratio is of Netflix?
I think it's like 200.
No, it's 79.
Oh, I don't know. That may be – well, that could be backward. I don't know. That's a backward –
I don't know. I think it's a current one. I'm not sure. But that was a forward PE 37. So it's not that bad. It's just terrible. It's, you know, are they growing at a 79% clip? I don't think so.
No, that's the thing. That's the problem. They're not. And they have higher costs. And they didn't see much expansion. They definitely talked up a good game about international expansion, another 3 million customers or so. Churn rate was reasonable. And they're talking about the streaming thing and all this stuff. But the problem with Netflix is that you got a bunch of groupies that just won't let go of it. You know, it goes down, they buy it. If it goes up, they buy it. If they come out with a bad number, they buy it. Come out with a good number, they buy it. So, you know, Netflix is all about, that's the same carrot, but in a different way. It's that it is just it's a sexy name. One day, maybe, if they don't continue to have good earnings moving forward, they're just going to keep on, you know, they're going to fall down to where they should be. There are analysts with price targets of 80 on the stock. Obviously, they're wrong. Right?
Well, they may not be wrong forever.
No, but they're very wrong now.
Yeah.
I mean, they could at least say 175 and be somewhere in a reasonable ballpark.
Meanwhile, I'm looking at the various sell, hold, buy guys, and we have a Oppenheimer reiterating and outperform some company called Canaccord Genuity.
Yeah, Canaccord Genuity. Yep.
What do they do?
Yeah, the same thing.
Buy. They just out and out. Buy.
When was the date of that? Was it recent?
April 26th.
No, so it was after the earnings, right? Yeah, it was after the earnings.
Another one, and so was the Oppenheimer. That was on April 26th. And
they must have seen something in it that they liked, which to be honest with you,
point saying actually both of them are saying 280 to 300.
I mean the earnings did not. I didn't think the earnings. We held the stock right up until we cut it right when we saw that thing starting to come down, and I said, you know what, we only had it a couple of weeks at the most. And because it was starting to break out of a nice pattern, and we said, okay, well, you know, first time I bought it, actually. And I said, you know what, okay, we'll take this and we'll look at it. And then we saw the earnings. I'm like, oh my God, that's horrible. I can't hold that. Now, I could be totally wrong here. And Netflix has like a life of its own. But, you know, if you're trying to do any kind of numbers on this thing and come up with a reasonable expectation, except for just the fact that it goes up, which in itself is a good reason sometimes to have a stock. I searched. I couldn't find anything. Couldn't find a thing. Well, when it breaks down after a breakout on high volume, it's just not healthy.
Yeah. Well, I'll relent.
Okay. A couple things. Now, Berkshire Hathaway's in a lot of hot water, right?
Yeah.
Warren Buffett has been mum. Not a word. Nothing. Can't get him to say a thing about what's going on. Well, it seems that this David Sokol, who bought the Lubrizol and then in advance, I think $3 million worth.
Yeah, something.
And then he tried a quick buck. Yeah, made a quick couple of bucks. Very nice. And then he left. I mean, I don't know. That's good. But now they're finding, I guess, that the committee that was studying it found that that this guy did violate the standards of Berkshire Hathaway by, I guess he was misleading the company about his personal stake in Lubrizol, which he then recommended to Buffett as a takeover candidate. Don't you? I love that.
It's a big stake. Idea.
Yeah, what a great idea.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, this guy was slated by all that knew of everything to be the next
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett, or yeah, at least maybe not him, but the ticket.
Be.
Yeah, no. Why would you want to be make $30-40 million on a quick gig and then you do your thing?
Yeah, you don't have to be day to day for the rest of your life working for Berkshire Hathaway. That can't be much fun.
Right. In the limelight and all that. So Warren Buffett's not said a word about this that I could see at all. He's going to appear on CNBC, and I don't know why he only talks with Becky Quick in the morning. When he travels with her.
Maybe he likes Becky. She's really. I've met her. She's quite attractive.
Do you know that her husband is like the head producer of that show?
No.
No wonder she gets all the good gigs.
Huh.
Yep.
Well, that's one way of doing it.
So they're going to have a discussion, and I am hard-pressed to imagine that there's going to be anything but softballs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, underhand wiffle balls being thrown, right?
We're going to learn nothing. That's why he probably works, you know, you work with somebody. It's like people, I have like a photographer. If I'm going to have a picture taken of me, I'll do anything to get this guy the job because I don't know why or how, but he actually makes me look decent.
Oh, that's impressive. I got to get his number.
Yeah, he's actually quite astonishing. He normally does it, you know, kind of in high industry, high concept photos. He's not a portrait guy, but when he does them, he's just like, I don't know if it's the lenses or the way he, you know, handles the subject. I'm not sure, but it's like every shot is. It's not even one of those things where you get a big sheet with a bunch of headshots and, oh, there's number 52 looks okay. No, it's like every shot looks good.
Hmm.
It's weird.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, it's like his presidential photographer. It's his, you know, his.
Yeah, it's go-to his girl.
Yep. So,
she
I mean, they
the
know
right
each other. Right.
They get to get run. She knows. She anticipates where he wants to go with it. You know, who knows?
Right. Yeah. So this will be, I think, 8 o'clock in the morning coming up on Monday, next Monday. So that we'll be watching that just to see. I mean, only because it's fascinating.
East Coast time.
Yeah, I think it's 8. I think it's 8. Yeah, it'll be replayed, I'm sure. It'll be on YouTube and all other places.
Who cares?
Yeah, well,
he's not
whatever.
Say
so,
anything.
I agree. I totally agree. The did I tell you that Obama's American?
I understand he was born in Hawaii.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, just making sure. That's America, right? Yeah. Was it that America back then? Yeah.
1959 is when they became
good.
A state. Yeah.
So we're good.
He made it by 2 years, just barely made it.
Snuck in. See, that's an issue. That's what this is all about. But anyway, kidding. Earnings coming in very strong so far this quarter. About 70% of S&P 500 companies have beat analyst expectations. Now, mind you, and I do believe that analysts brought down their numbers anticipating a lower earnings due to all the things we know, Japan and slowdown in Europe and the whole oil situation and the fiasco in the Middle East. So I think they brought down numbers. But I'll tell you something. These beats on some of these companies are astonishing, particularly like the chemical companies. You know, some of the industrials. We'll see Caterpillar tomorrow. It has been a whole like wow. I mean, just wow. Very impressive. And they're raising guidance. I mean, big time raising guidance. You thought they were raising guidance back when. They're raising guidance like it's they're fresh out of the gate.
Yeah. Well, it's going to keep the bull market going.
Yeah. And you know what? I think the big issue here, that a lot of people who are, you know, in that negative, absolute 100% negative mode because the United States is, you know, a lot of joblessness and all these other bad things. I think the one thing that you have to look at and just, you know, just generally right now is that the United States economy is very much tied to the world economy, and the world economy in a lot of areas is on fire. I mean, you look at Singapore, 23% GDP growth year over year, although Korea came in pretty lousy today. Japan was just horrible again. But you know, they're going, they've finally admitted that this is going to be a problem. They finally admitted that they're going to see a slowdown, but they think that that's temporary because the reconstruction is going to add to a gigantic opportunity and growth for the Japanese reconstruction economy.
That whole area is ruined. They're not going to reconstruct anything there. I guess they do need to build houses for those people, though, so I guess that could mean something.
That's nice. I mean, you know, so there's going to be a big boom there. And I found the most... Yeah, well, maybe not in that area, but somewhere.
Yeah, but in construction.
Right, in construction and whatever that entails. What I thought was really kind of fascinating was that tonight, or earlier today, that, you know, Japan's grinding to a halt, right? Their production is terrible. Their exports have just fallen off a cliff. And they have all sorts of problems. But a senior economist said that the board, their Federal Reserve, if you will, thinks that it's useless to ease policy any further, to apply any stimulus, when supply constraints are the main factor that's depressing growth. In other words, they can't make things. So if you apply stimulus, what's the point?
Yeah.
Okay? So the April data probably isn't going to be as drastic as March, but the Bank of Japan may be compelled to add more stimulus if they see signs of a prolonged slump. Now, here's my point, though. Here we are supposedly in a nice recovery in the U.S., right? With no earthquakes, no things like that, no craziness, right? Mm-hmm. But we're not stopping the stimulus. As a matter of fact, it's like, you know, it's balls to the walls with the stimulus as much as possible, right? Over there, they have a catastrophe that grinds their economy to a halt, and they're like, well, I'm not so sure that we're going to really...
That's why they've been in a depression for, what, the last how many years since when? The 80s?
Yeah, they got to get with it. They got to start just spilling money on their citizens like we do.
Get with it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they got to start just really,
you
know...
That's the way you do it. They just follow our lead.
Yeah. I think it's a great... I mean, listen, it's the equivalent of you have a friend who's out of a job, mortgaged up to the hilt... Bill's payers knock on his door every day. But meanwhile, you go out to dinner and you notice, and you have a job and you're doing well. He drives up in a beautiful car and he's having an unbelievable dinner with a great bottle of wine. You're thinking to yourself, how is this possible? Then you realize his father, his uncle for that matter, very wealthy, giving him all money, making sure that he doesn't go down. Right? The same thing here. Uncle Sam, our rich uncle, is giving us all sorts of money to make sure that we don't have a problem. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, he gives it. Unfortunately, Uncle likes the bankers more than they like me.
Yeah, well,
that's another story. So let's take a look at our stocks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going.
All
okay.
Right. So we have. I see you're putting a couple new things on there. Oh, that's interesting. You know, we don't have much movement. Goldman's kind of still hanging in there.
Actually, I think Goldman's going to be cut. Goldman, I have to look at that. I'm pretty darn sure this is it. You're done.
You think I'm done?
Yeah, I think it's higher than this, though. I think it's a bit higher. I think it was 168 or 170, so 16. So, well, you're probably right on. You're probably right on the number. So you're very, very, very close.
Because of the 10% rule.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's just going to be stopped out automatically. I have to update that one. We were stopped out on Kellogg. I told you a long time ago we were stopped out. That was way back.
Yeah.
We were out of that short a long time ago.
Yeah, I should move that.
What's interesting is that the pro shares ultra short yen, which was at a 10% point, remember that?
Yeah.
And then the Japan was in there and they got intervention. It's right back down to 10% again. It was up by 3 or 4%. Well, not up, but it moved up about to down, I think, 2%.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's back down here again, meaning that the yen is again strengthening, which is not good.
It's not good for anybody.
No. I mean, especially for, you know, Japan, although they don't seem to care. You know, the market goes up anyway because they're all excited about everything. You know, everybody's all excited just to put money in the market because it's like, you know, it's like putting money into a bubble gum machine that just, you know, keeps on spitting out multiple pieces of gumballs for one quarter.
So I see the big winner on this thing is still Sina Corporation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though it dropped recently. Yeah, it dropped and then came back and then dropped and came back. Baidu got hurt tonight. Tonight with earnings. Was it last night? Yeah, last night they came out with earnings, and they were up a little bit down. They had 2.5% down.
Like Camac Energy. I think you might as well just kill it.
Oh, you don't think that's a wide enough stop yet? Are you sure?
Okay, I'll stay in.
Yeah, I mean, it's
maybe
only down
50%. Double down.
Yeah, maybe. The International Coal. Actually, I sent you a report. They came out with earnings, and that didn't do anything for the stock.
No, it's only down. I was hoping for something.
Yep. We're going to look at Rubicon, possibly. I put that in there the other day. I'm thinking about Rubicon.
I've heard of Rubicon. What do they do?
They do LED
technology. Oh, right,
technology.
Right.
And the stock is breaking out. The competition is, there's a few companies out there, but they just got some very good reviews on their outlook and what they're doing in terms of their technology. And, you know, LEDs are just all over the place. It's a they kind of move around a bit. We like the stock, but LEDs
are going to take over the place. I think the only problem they have right now for home lighting is they're too expensive. Then they shouldn't be. They should actually have made the crossover by now, past cheaper than fluorescents. But I still think there's an issue with the coloration. I'd like to see some better, warmer colors coming from these things. I mean, instead of
it's a harsh
light.
It's almost blue.
Yeah, and it's unpleasant.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's a lot cheaper, lasts a lot longer.
Oh, they last forever, and the power usage is zero.
Right. So, I mean, this whole area, there's a few companies. There's a company called Cree that looks awful. There's a company called Vico that looks okay-ish. Not great, but okay-ish. And Rubicon. And Rubicon seems to have the best-looking product line and the best-looking earnings. And just an interesting company. And the other thing that I'm doing is, and this is, it's very risky, and I'm going back to, even though we have this on here, and this is what I want to do, is we're going to go short silver again.
Oh.
Crazy as it may be.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to see we'll see some strength in silver, but there's going to be a day of reckoning. We'll see if it's coming sooner than later. And, you know, we could see an easy 4 or 5% drop on silver. Now, this is a double short ETF
so
for silver.
Right,
it's going to move fast. This particular ETF, I think, received more money in deposits or in buys in the last day or so than the silver ETF, the main silver ETF, got all year. I don't know what that exactly means, but there's a lot of negativity when it comes to that, I guess.
It means a lot of people are shaking the dice.
Yeah. So, in theory, we're going to buy half it now and half it if it drops even further down to 13, which would be, what, another 4% move? In other words, if silver goes up 2%,
right,
which would be the top of the range, we'd buy another half theoretically. So that's, I mean, for the game we're doing here.
Okay. All right. But I got nothing for this week.
Nothing. Nothing crazy. Nothing from nothing like a Zimbabwe-based internet store or something.
ISP.
Okay, so next week we're going to talk about the earnings season and how it shaped up. We're going to talk about probably the budget battle that's going to be going on in the government. We're going to bring up the royal wedding and how that was nothing. And by next week, I would venture to say we're going to see some bubbling up again of the whole issue in Europe with Portugal. And that, you know, the Portuguese, the Greece, their bonds are Greece in particular, their bonds are the highest rate. In other words, they have to pay more than they ever paid before. So that's a big concerning factor right now in the markets. And the other thing I'll mention is one other thing that we did some looking at the markets right now, and they're definitely moving higher over the last 2 weeks, no question, after a little bit of a drop there. But if you look at – I sent you this actually. If you look at whenever the market moves much past its upper band of its Bollinger Band, which is a standard deviation away from the 20-day moving average,
right,
it has a tendency to come back a little bit. Almost every time on the chart that you could see that, and I marked it for you, you could see that, and we are not only above it right now, we're way above it.
Right. It's way, 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 yeah, yeah.
So that's not an absolute.
The old saying is when you get to May, go away, you know, kind of don't invest in the market in May.
Right.
And we got May coming up.
Yep, we
and
do.
And this is bunching through the – it sounds like it's rigged.
We'll see. All right, so we'll talk next week. This show went pretty quick today, didn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, lots of fun.
All right.
All right, next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.